Alert. There may be reasons you think you want to skip this episode, but don't skip it. And if you really feel like skipping past the time loop part, at least listen to the end.
Okay, that's fair.
Alert over. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Wait, now to our past selves.
Like from 10 minutes ago?
Yes.
No.
Ben, I'm going to keep it rolling here.
Okay.
This is now the beginning of a new episode.
Yes.
Because I mentioned in the last episode that we just did called Our Favorite Video Games that it was unlocking some memories. And as I was going through my list, when we got to Bubble Bobble, something really struck me.
Yeah.
And I was like, have Ben and I talked about this before?
Have we?
So I searched back into the archives. I didn't want to tell you on the air yet. On January 29th, 2015, we released episode 328 called Top 10 Video Games.
Oh, my goodness.
We did a whole episode about this already.
Are you serious?
And forgot. That's, I mean, I know
it's... I wonder what was on that list.
Time Loop.
Has Brian done that one?
People are watching Time Loop or listening to that Time Loop right now. So I'm going to hit the music, and then I want to talk to you a little bit more. So here we go. What episode did I say?
I don't want to listen to it, but I'd like somebody to tell me.
What was that episode we just did? 1038, right? No.
Yeah.
37, 38. So this is 39.
So what episode number was it originally?
I'll tell you in a second. Ready? Episode 10,039. Our former top 10 video games. I can't call it top 10. It's probably changed. So, Ben, we've been doing podcasting for 12 years.
Yeah.
This might be the first time we've doubled up on an episode and forgot. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DeVoto.
So, yeah, this time loop we're about to play from 2015 is basically the same episode we just released. So, episode 300.
There's no Elden Ring on it, though.
Yeah, episode 328, Ben. Did you find it?
Yes. So, Brian has... Do you want me to tell you?
No, don't, because they're about to listen to it.
Okay.
So just let's hit the, can you do the music to time travel us to that episode, and then we'll come back and reflect on it a little bit. So go ahead.
Oh my goodness.
No, go back.
Yeah, I'm excited. I do want to talk about this.
Episode 328, Top 10 Video Games.
And other news.
No, stop saying that. We're not doing, it's not a news episode. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DeBono, and we are back, everyone.
Back.
Welcome back.
And
my computer won't stop typing J's. I don't know what's happening.
Before we get into the countdown here tonight, we want to... what's going on, then?
It won't stop typing J's.
We wanted to make sure to direct you all to podcastawards.com, where you can vote for us.
Oh, yeah.
In the Podcast Awards this year. So we had a whole episode about it. Go check out episode 326 for all the details. But we want to become a nominee. That's our goal.
Yeah.
Our goal is not even to win. Our goal is just to be a nominee. Winning. So we need as many people as possible to go out there and nominate us so that we get onto the nominee list.
That's right.
Do it before February 2nd. That's the deadline. February 2nd, 2015. And you can't do it after that.
No. They won't even let you.
Well, Ben, now that that's out of the way, let's talk about video games. For years, people have said, you guys never do any episodes on video games other than that one on Injustice, Gods Among Us, the DC
not even true.
Fighting game.
We're doing one now.
That's right. We're doing it right now. So here's the backstory to this episode. I found a documentary on Netflix called Video Games, the Movie. So I watched it. It had kind of a fun timeline where it talked about the different consoles that came out and some of the major games and what was happening in the industry. I just thought it was kind of interesting. So it got me thinking, hey, I have played quite a few video games back in my childhood. Now, once I hit early adulthood, I got out of it. So I thought this would be fun. Ben and I have completely different lists of favorite games. Mine will all be classic, old school Nintendo games, mostly. Yeah. And yours will mostly, I'm guessing, be a lot of the newer ones. And when it comes
out, know.
At least when you talk about honorable mentions, I hope that you throw some of the new ones out there for people. Okay, so no honorable mentions, I'm guessing.
I have a couple honorable mentions. There's nothing particularly new about them.
Uh-oh. So maybe we'll have a pretty similar list. But
I don't think so.
But, yeah, so we'll do a top 10 countdown of those, and then we'll wrap up the episode by talking and we'll rank our individual consoles that we've had. So you know, these lists are going to be completely different because...
Probably different numbers.
We've had different numbers of consoles, different platforms that we've played on, and we'll just rank them, whatever number, to number one.
That's right.
You ready?
I don't even know how many I have.
All right, Ben. Number
1, 2, 3.
I'll let you go first.
Five.
Number 10.
Number 10. My number 10 is one that I still consider among the best of the best in first-person shooters, the classic N64 game GoldenEye 007. Man,
all right.
This is a great game.
Now, I played this one, actually.
Yeah?
But I never owned a Nintendo 64.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that's an oversight.
Yeah, so I've played it. I remember I have vivid memories of playing at my friend's house in high school, but I was never, ever good at first-person shooter games.
Yeah, I love GoldenEye.
And I don't like the joystick, like, 3D ability. I like when the screen just moves for me.
Yeah. Annie's like that, too, where she can only play 2D games. When she gets into a 3D environment, she's lost.
I can't figure it out. I am not skilled in that.
Well, you know how you move, like, if you walk around this room, you know how you can go in not just left and right, but you can go forward and back?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's like.
Oh.
When you get into that. So just imagine that your character now
is me.
Is you, and can go forward and back in addition to left to right.
Man, I wish somebody had told me this years ago.
3D movement. It's the future. But yeah, GoldenEye is such a great game. I mean, you know, this was one where you think of, like, James Bond. There's so many bad James Bond games out there. And so, you know, so many times where they take a licensed product like that and they just cash in and make a terrible game off of it. And you can just list countless examples of that. But GoldenEye 007, man, was that a great game. It shipped with the Rumble Pack. You know, which
What's
was
a rumble pack
that, like, shook your controller when you got shot and everything. And
wow, why would you want that?
Most controllers have some kind of rumbling capability.
I always shut that off.
Yeah, but it was really cool at the time and everything. Oh, man, and the multiplayer was fun, but the single player game is a blast too. And this game was hard. You know, go back and play it now. So many games have become easier over time. By which I mean that, like, modern games lower the difficulty level quite a bit, especially with big studio games. GoldenEye 007, that was a hard game, but it was a lot of fun. You know, go back, play the Aztec Temple, which is one of the bonus missions after you complete the main story. That thing takes forever when you're on the higher difficulty level. So GoldenEye 007, in fact, I'm talking about it. I want to go home and play it now. It's so good.
Wow. All right. Well.
Yeah. Number 10.
Number 10 for me. Classic Nintendo game for the original Nintendo Entertainment System came out in 1987. I'm talking about Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah.
Now, I actually still own Mike Tyson's Punch-Out with the Mike Tyson label.
That's a 3D game.
No, it's not.
You move forward and back and left and right, right?
Well, I guess if that's considered 3D, then
I don't think it's really considered 3D, but same type of movement.
All I remember is actually just punching a lot. You know, punching, trying to punch the guy out.
Anyway. What near mind makes that one of the best games of all time?
Well, now, yes, this is good. Let's talk about our criteria. Okay. Memories for me.
That's true. I guess mine is more. I do have more of a subjective than objective.
Yeah. So my list is not at all based on quality. It's based on personal reasons. Like,
I spent
a lot of time playing it. I had, like, maybe some fun times with family or friends doing this game for a long time. So. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, eventually they lost the licensing agreement with Mike Tyson, so it just became Punch-Out. So the fact that I have a Mike Tyson version, I feel pretty good about that.
Oh, man.
Which has Mike Tyson as the boss.
Yeah.
Mario, you may know.
Watch out for he bites your ear.
Yeah, Mario makes an appearance in this game as the referee. But the character I always remember is the first one you go against, Glass Joe. Remember Glass Joe?
No, but I'm guessing by his name, it was pretty easy to beat.
Yeah. And another one, the Bald Bull. He was tough.
Are you sure these aren't Marvel villains?
Nope. I'm just reading this. It looks like Donkey Kong is a special guest character that only appears in the Wii version of Punch-Out. I'm just scanning through a list of characters. But, Nintendo, classic. Loved it. Yeah. Mike Tyson was hard to beat. Very hard. They had a character named Mr. Sandman, I kind of remember.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. Games used to be way harder than they are now.
Soda Popinski. All right.
See, the Polish character?
I'm not sure if they specified, but possibly. So, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, number 10 for you, Ben. Number 9.
Number 9. Oh, this one is more recent. Arkham City.
This is the third in the series?
Second. So really, I mean, the whole... There's a few here where I just chose a representative pick. Otherwise, my list would have been pretty much all Mario and Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
So Arkham City is the best of the series, but I do mean the whole series representatively here, and hopefully we can include Arkham Knight in there as well later on this year. But this is very similar to what GoldenEye did, where just like licensing properties in general. I mean, man, there's so many bad superhero games out there. Superman 64, which I never played, but is considered to be one of the worst games ever made, because they basically put Superman in a game, put no thought or design into it, full of bugs, and were trusting to sell it just on the strength of the Superman label. And Arkham City, the whole Arkham series, is exactly the opposite. And not only did they make a great game, they made a game in such a way where you feel like you are genuinely Batman with the way that you have to do detective stuff in this game. It almost feels like a Batman simulator. In fact, that's what they said about Arkham Knight, is that they are going for the ultimate Batman simulator with that game.
Wow.
And great storyline. You know, for those of us who grew up watching the animated series, bringing back Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, it felt like, because it was a little more grown up in its content, it felt like the animated series for adults,
mm-hmm.
In its style and everything. Freaky sequences with the Scarecrow and all that. Just a great, great series and a great game.
Yeah, you know, I watched the cutscenes for the first... What was it called?
Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Asylum. And then I think I've seen my brother play a little bit of Arkham City. I've never seen anything from Arkham Origins.
Yeah.
And, of course, Arkham Knight coming out this year. But, yeah, I'm for this series existing. I think it looks really fun. I've read a lot about it.
This should be your entry into modern video games.
But I'd have to buy a whole PlayStation just to...
PC.
Can I play it on a laptop?
Probably. Might not run that well.
Okay. I probably won't play it on a PC.
Oh.
If I was going to play it, I'd want to play it on a PlayStation 4.
There you go.
Which I don't own.
Aim for the moon.
Hey, if anybody's out there wanting to donate their PlayStation 4, just contact me at feedback@thescifichristian.com.
Yeah. Well, maybe if I buy a PlayStation 4 someday, I'll give you my PlayStation 3.
Whoa.
And you can play you won't be able to play Arkham Knight on it, probably, but you can play the other ones.
Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome. Number 9.
Number 9 for me is... a very old game and I first played this on the Atari. So you have the joystick and the button, and you move back and forth. Space Invaders.
Oh, yeah.
Have you played Space Invaders?
Well, who hasn't?
Basically, how this game goes is you have a little spaceship, and you move it just from left to right, and you shoot whenever you want, and there's aliens coming, and
From space.
From space.
And they're not just coming.
Well, they're invading, technically.
They're in fact invading.
And when they come down from the top of the screen, you have to shoot... bullets are space lasers at them.
Right.
And then it takes a chunk of the pixels. So you're trying to disintegrate these aliens before they touch the ground, because that's when you lose.
Yeah.
So
I remember playing a ripoff version of Space Invaders on the PC when I was a child, called Here They Come.
And that's exactly how it feels. Here they come.
At the beginning of every round, though, there'd be a monotone voice that said, "Here they come."
And then
they would start invading, or coming in this case.
That kind of reminds me of, have you played Plants vs. Zombies?
Yeah, it's not
that's that one great. Of my honorable mentions, because I really like it on my Kindle. But they say something right before, and I can't remember what they
Brained.
Say. Maybe, I can't remember, but there's
ready.
Yeah, something like that. So, anyways, so Space Invaders came out in 1978. I think it had to have been one of the very first games from Atari, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
So that's my number 9. Your number 8.
My number 8 is the Diablo series, especially Diablo 3. I know that that's a bit controversial. People consider the second one to be the best, but I quite frankly really enjoyed Diablo 3, and I'm sad that they closed the auction house, because I thought that was a cool way to get some items that were rare and you couldn't find otherwise. But yeah, man, I love the Diablo series. Not the most intelligent of games. Lots of click, 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 but they're lots of fun. I've put an enormous amount of hours into Diablo 3.
Give me a synopsis for Diablo. What's happening?
The plot?
Yeah.
Well, so Diablo, which you might not know is another word for devil,
mm-hmm.
is on the earth.
Whoa.
And you've got to stop him.
From doing what? Evil?
Evil Diablo things.
Okay.
And then there's other demons along the way that you fight. Yeah. So like in the first game, he just kind of crashes through a church, and you go down and down and kind of descend into hell, where you eventually fight Diablo. And then the second game, he's up to mischief. And the third game, a little spoiler here, he eventually takes over heaven.
Whoa, how did he even get to?
It's not like the same rules as the Christian.
Oh.
Yeah, Diablo, great fun. You're number eight, sir.
My number eight. Now, this one I have some great memories from. This is a Super Nintendo game. Came out in 1994. Another licensing from a sports celebrity. Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I didn't think you even liked baseball.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I don't really like baseball that much. I mean, I like it okay, but this game, me and my cousin would play this so much, and there was kind of a cool feature where you could rename almost all the characters. There was a few, I think, that you couldn't name, but you couldn't. I couldn't like name somebody Matt Anderson. I could just put their first initial, so it'd be like M. Anderson.
Yeah.
So then I'd try to come up with clever names. So I'd have like B. Careful. Something like that. So I remember sitting in my living room with a notebook and coming up with every name I could think of that was a little bit clever like that to rename these Ken Griffey
Jr.
baseball.
You have a very different experience of video games than most people do.
Yeah. So there was a home run derby feature in this game. I'm pretty sure, I can't remember specifically, but I'm almost positive there was a season feature where you could play team after team and hopefully get to the World Series. I imagine that was a big feature there.
Right. It would be a shame if they put in the season feature and did not have the World Series at the end.
And so even though I don't remember all the ins and outs, I do remember loving this. And here's another one. I didn't mention this with Space Invaders. All these games I've named so far, I still own the original cartridge.
Yeah.
So I've got Ken Griffey. I've got Space Invaders. I've got
Mike Tyson's
Punch-Out.
All right.
So this is one of my tops from my childhood.
Awesome.
All right, you're number, what are we at, seven?
Yeah. Portal 2. Man, this is a great game.
I've watched somebody play this game extensively. When I was a youth director, I went to one of my students' homes just to hang out with him, and I thought we were going to play together. I thought he's going to teach me how to play this game. I played a little, and as I mentioned before, I'm not good at the 3D movements of characters. He noticed I was bad, so he said, here, let me show you, and then I never played again.
So Portal actually has a kind of an interesting history because it was originally made by Valve. It was the same company who did the Half-Life series. And they were coming out with a Half-Life collection called the Orange Box, which collected Half-Life, Half-Life 2, a couple of the expansion packs. And then they just threw this game called Portal on there as kind of like a bonus.
Okay.
And
it was like a puzzle game, right?
Yeah. It was just like a little something extra, not a very long game. And people just went nuts for it. And then a few years later, they came out with Portal 2, which not only was more of what everybody was looking for, but just perfected what they did in Portal. It's so much fun. And if you're playing on the PC, I don't know if this is on console versions, but for sure on the PC, you know, there's now a user community where people can develop their own puzzles. So you can literally never run out of puzzles to get through in Portal 2.
Here's what I remember. So I made some jokes about not playing. I didn't mind that I wasn't playing because it is sort of fun for me just to watch the story unfold and have somebody playing it that actually knows what's going on. I remember there was a well-known actor, a British actor, who was one of the characters.
Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant played like a little robot thing.
Yes. Ricky Gervais, that's his writing partner.
Okay, yeah, so I remember that character being pretty funny. This is an entertaining game to watch. And the portal aspect itself, if you don't know what it is, they just picture two portals. You go through one, you pop out the other one. So you have a portal gun so you can get around these puzzles.
Yeah, that's the other. I mean, it was really revolutionary when that came out. That nobody had ever really done anything like that before.
Because wherever you shoot, the portal exists.
Yeah, exactly. And so this game had you literally recreating the world around you with these guns, and you never really had anything like that before. It's just so very innovative, but also not in a gimmicky way. You know, I mentioned the Rumble Pack. Well, the Rumble Pack was a gimmick, but this was an innovation where it's like, okay, this is a huge step forward too in what you can do with video games. And there's people out there who will cite Portal 2 as the greatest game ever made. And you can make an argument for it. It's that fantastic. It
sounds like you're not making an argument for that.
No, I have other ones I like better. But okay. I wouldn't. If somebody put this at the top of their list, I would not argue with them for a second.
Okay.
All right, you're number seven,
My number seven is the first game I have any memory playing. And that would be Pac-Man on my Atari.
Yeah.
So my mom, I don't know, she must have been trying to buy my love with video game stuff because I don't
this
remember
episode just got really sad.
I don't remember ever asking for an Atari.
Yeah.
I think I didn't know it existed until I got it as a Christmas present. Who knows? I could be totally wrong. I was pretty young. It looks like the Atari. Let's see here. I'm looking at the release date for Pac-Man. It says 1982, but that was the year I was born. So I don't know what year I actually started playing this game. But yeah, so got the Atari for Christmas one year, played Pac-Man, played Space Invaders. I played so much of those two games. I loved it. So I don't know for a fact I still have my Pac-Man cartridge, but I might. I definitely have my Atari. I wonder what it would be like. We should play it sometime.
We should.
All right. We'll get
it. You know what I just saw today is, and this has probably existed for a while, but I saw like a little handheld, kind of like a PSP or Game Boy or something like that. But it's designed for Super Nintendo games.
Okay.
So it's like a handheld thing you buy, and it's just a Super Nintendo with its own little screen there, cool. Controller and everything. So you just put your old cartridge in there, and you turn it into a handheld game.
One other note about Pac-Man, just to talk more about why, well, not why I liked it. Everybody likes Pac-Man, right? It's fine. This is one that if I see it at an arcade or at, you know, if you're at a restaurant that tries to be cool by having classic things like Jukebox and
Pac-Man,
I'll try to play as much as possible. I just think it's fun. So love Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That's my number 7. Your number 6.
My number 6 is Doom 2.
Doom
2. Okay. This is the granddaddy of all.
Is this the one that was The Rock in this one, or was he just in the movie?
He's in the movie.
Okay.
Doom, you know, Wolfenstein is really the grandfather of all first-person shooters, but I think that Doom really perfected the first-person shooter formula, and to a certain extent, you know, you look at all the other first-person shooters that have come later, they're all just riffing off of Doom to a certain extent. I mean, this is such a great game, and I will go back every couple years, every few years, and play through Doom. It's so much fun.
From a story perspective?
No, there's no story.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Jeez.
Like, mostly, it's just like Mario. There's no story. It's just the fun of how well-designed these levels are. And the challenge and the monsters and everything. This game's such a blast. I remember my mom getting mad at my dad for letting me play it because it's not violent by today's standards because the graphics are so outdated. But, you know, back in the day, you're in hell shooting monsters. And there's blood and everything, so my mom wasn't too happy about it. But what a great game. Who doesn't love Doom 2?
I have a memory of a friend who had computer games when I was really young. Well, not really young, middle school age probably. And I remember Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a little bit of a memory of Doom.
Yeah.
But definitely Wolfenstein. And just kind of felt weird because I wasn't used to computer games at the time. So you'd move around with the arrows.
That's right.
The screens didn't move side to side. It was all boxes and you'd go from room to room, basically.
Right. It's that 3D problem again.
Yes. I hate that. Just move the screen for me, would you?
Why?
No, just kidding. Let's not get into this. Okay.
You're number 6.
My number 6. Now, this was a close one. Tetris is an honorable mention for me. That's not the game I'm about to say. But this is close to Tetris. They're not exactly the same, but they remind me of each other. But my number 6, a game that came out for the original Nintendo Entertainment System in 1990, Dr. Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
With Mario.
It's not exactly Tetris, though, because instead of lining the shapes up, there's pills falling because he's a doctor. Three different colors.
Allegedly.
Blue, yellow, red. And you have to line up the colors and then make them disappear that way. So it's very similar to Tetris, but not exactly. But interestingly, even though this game came out in 1990, I didn't actually get into it until the school. I was in college at this time. My senior year of college was 2003 to 2004. And that's when I got into Dr. Mario. I had a group of friends, and we'd stay up super late playing. And it's a situation where I think a lot of people can relate to this, where you go to bed then and you close your eyes and you're picturing the pills from Dr. Mario falling down. Or if you play Tetris, you can, a lot of times when you play video games and you go to bed, you just picture it still in your mind happening. Well, that's what happened here. I love Dr. Mario. And I haven't went back and played a lot of games from the past in recent years. However, when I owned a Wii temporarily, I did purchase through Nintendo's store a digital version of Dr. Mario.
Oh, you got rid of your Wii?
Yes, I did get rid of my Wii.
That's kind of sad.
I just never played it.
Yeah.
So, I love Dr. Mario. Did you ever play that game?
A little bit.
Did you like it or not so much?
I'm indifferent.
I think we might have different tastes in games.
I'm kind of getting that feeling.
All right, you're number Five.
My number five is, I'm actually swapping this on the fly. I had it at number four, and I think I have to move it up to number five. Half-Life 2. Another great first-person shooter. The reason I'm swapping this down one spot, it is a great game. It's totally a great game. But it's more because of what Valve has done in the decade and a half since Half-Life 2 with the franchise. So originally they were going to have a few expansion packs to kind of continue the story, and they came out with Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and then Half-Life 2 Episode 2, and the story ends on a cliffhanger, and we are still waiting a decade later for Half-Life 2 Episode 3 or Half-Life 3. And you know, I just think Valve has completely dropped the ball on this. It's been their most popular franchise.
What happened?
No one knows. You know, they haven't done anything.
Why would they ignore their most popular franchise?
No idea. Well,
I'm going to do some research while you talk.
You're going to find there's so much written on this. But one of the reasons would be Valve has a policy that their programmers can work on whatever they want to. And so presumably they just never got around to doing Half-Life 3. And to me, it does kind of reflect badly on Half-Life 2 in that it makes me not want to go back and play it again as much, even though I do sometimes because I think it's a great game. But because of how they've dropped the ball on the legacy of this game, it to me really reflects poorly on it.
I wonder if it's a situation where they can work on whatever they want and they've been there, done that with Half-Life, and they just don't feel like going back to it.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, ready? Here's what I found out. I did some research on this. Since the release of Half-Life 2 in October 2007, there has been very little news about Half-Life 3. Let's see. It was expected to follow soon after because Valve stated they were aiming
for... That must
be
Half-Life 2 Episode 2 in 2007. Because it was out before 2007.
Yeah, Episode 2 was in 2007. Their original aim was to release a new episode every 6 to 8 months. Yep. However, as of January 2015... three pieces of concept art are all Valve has shown of the next game. Since then, since back in 2007, Valve has released 8 other games.
Yeah.
Wow.
And technically, Portal 2 exists in the same universe as Half-Life. So they've done a little bit there, but man, it's such a great game, and the game itself is so much fun, and I love the game. But man, they have dropped the ball so completely with the legacy of this that it does tarnish it a bit for me, and that's why it got the boot from number 4 to number 5.
Wow, interesting story.
Number 5 for you, sir.
Number 5 for me. Maybe not the conspiracy or intrigue that we had there with Half-Life, but still a fun game that me and Ryan Strelo Studios' own Ryan Strelo played hours of, a game that came out in 1993. It was a basketball arcade game.
Yeah.
We played it on the Super Nintendo, and it's called NBA Jam.
Yeah.
He's heating up. You're on fire. Did you play this game?
Yeah. I have a question for you about two things on your list. Specifically the two sports games you've had.
I've had three sports games.
Boxing. Okay, well, yeah, I'm not really counting Mike Tyson's punch out. But, you know, games that are meant to emulate a professional sport, because there isn't really a Glass Jaw Joe or whatever it was. I totally understand the appeal to sports games. I enjoy them. But you know that they've really made some awesome innovations in the last 2.5 decades on what they've done with sports games. So the fact that your favorite sports games are from 2 decades ago is a bit puzzling to me, because if you like Ken Griffey Jr. that much and it's one of your favorite games, there's better versions of it.
No, you're missing the point, because I don't actually currently play video games. There's no interest in that for me right now. So what I'm talking about is the memories of these great childhood activities. Yeah. And so I understand that NBA Jam isn't the pinnacle of basketball gameplay, but for me, it's my favorite basketball game. And as a runner-up, there was a game called NBA Showcase or Showdown for Super Nintendo. I also liked, even then though, it was slow. Like, the players would dribble really slowly. Right. Even for its time, it was not that good, but I did like that one as well.
So I think we're finding something out about your list, which is that you're not even actually doing your top 10 favorite video games. You're doing your top 10 memories of video games.
That's what I mean.
Which is okay.
Same thing.
No. It's not the same thing. Because I like if you were to pull
it's
out a
not
base.
We said this at the beginning. It's not a ranked quality list.
No. But I'm saying that I'm now bringing in a third category. So if we had quality, that would be one list. But we're both not doing that. And then we have personal preference.
Okay.
Which is what I'm doing. But you're not even doing that. You're doing your memory of preference.
That's all I can go with is my memory of preference.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just seeking to understand.
It's all I can go on is my memory of preference.
Because
which would be my preference.
If you were doing preference, then I like Ken Griffey Jr. I could play a video game that came out this year. And it's way better. And then that would take the place. But it wouldn't. Because even if you were able to play that game and you enjoyed it more, you would still rank Ken Griffey Jr. No. there because you don't have as good a memory.
Not if I enjoyed it more. If I enjoyed it more, then...
Well, but see, here's the distinction. You might be able to say, I enjoy... This game is more fun. This game is more enjoyable. But my memory of Griffey is superior because it came out...
Of my childhood.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's the distinction that I make. It's very fascinating.
Yeah. So NBA Jam.
Yeah.
This is a 2-on-2 basketball game. Each team has 3 players to choose from, but you have to choose which 2 you want to represent the team.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan's not actually in this game.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. It must have come out. Now, I can't remember exactly how basketball history worked out. You know, Michael Jordan should have been around in 93 because I know he left for a little bit, but no, he wasn't in this game when I played it. So maybe I played a later version of it. But yeah, I played for Super Nintendo. It was me, Ryan, we had a friend named Jimmy, and we'd always play this game. You could save through your initials different seasons you were in. So we'd all take turns being like, maybe Ryan and me would play a game in towards the season. And then, it's Jimmy's turn now, so I'd sub out and Ryan and Jimmy would play. And then Ryan subs out and me and Jimmy, see how we do this? So
that's awesome.
So we have lots of fun doing this, and this is most well known for the He's on Fire feature where you basically couldn't miss when you were on fire.
Right.
So after scoring 3 consecutive baskets by one player, not by a team, that player became on fire.
Right.
And then it was very hard to miss.
See, my memory of basketball games in the 90s is that if you played as the Chicago Bulls, you pretty much couldn't lose. It's one of the, if you were playing with your friends, there were certain teams in that where you had to outlaw them because it was unfair competitive advantage. And the Chicago Bulls were that with NBA games in the 90s. But apparently not in this one. No Michael Jordan.
No, this is a runner-up for me. So I don't want to spend too much time talking about it. But just to clarify, the other game I liked was NBA Showdown. Also came out in 93. Totally different gameplay, though, where you had 5-on-5. And like I said, it was a really slow gameplay. But I'm just reading some fascinating history here. So the predecessor, you know how... Like you were mentioning some baseball games. I think they probably have baseball 2K15 this year.
Probably.
Or MLB
like that,
or NBA or whatever. I don't play them, so I have no idea. But, they have like kind of, it's like a series, right? So NBA Showdown the year before had been called Bulls versus Blazers, which was the NBA Finals from the year before. So this one should have been called Bulls versus Suns, but... Charles Barkley opted out of player licensing.
Oh, my.
And this article is saying it had a profound effect on EA Sports changing to a more generic name.
Yikes.
Pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's mine, NBA Jam. Not NBA Showdown, although I did like NBA Showdown. Your number 4.
My number 4 is BioShock Infinite. The BioShock series is great. But to me, if it was just the first 2 games, I wouldn't have made this list. BioShock Infinite took everything to a whole nother level in terms of gameplay, in terms of storytelling, character development. Man, this is a great game. A very recent one, along with another one that will be upcoming on my list.
What year was that? 2011 or 2012?
12 or 13. I think it was 13.
Because you did a review of this for the Sci-Fi Christian.
It must have been 13 then.
Okay.
Yeah. BioShock Infinite, fantastic game. I should go back and replay this. It's another one where if you want to just go watch the cutscenes, you could enjoy a quality story.
Excellent. My number 5, you could not watch the cutscenes and enjoy a quality story. It came out in 1986.
Okay.
For the original Nintendo.
I'm guessing no cutscenes.
I didn't play it, though, until probably the early 90s. Again, Ryan Strelow was there.
Yeah.
I've been friends with Ryan since I was in second grade, so he's in a lot of my past stories. The game is called Bubble Bobble.
Okay.
Have you heard of this game or played it?
I have not.
Okay, so the protagonists in this game are two little dragons, Bub and Bob.
Oh,
and their ability is they can blow bubbles that then trap the bad guys.
Right.
So, like, you see a bad guy coming, you press B.
Yeah.
It shoots a bubble, traps them, and then you pop the bubble, you kill the bad guy.
And that's how you get a point.
That's how you don't die.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a puzzle board where you have to achieve a certain goal.
Yeah.
And then you move up to the next level. And so the screen, instead of moving side to side, wait for it,
up and
moves
down.
Not up and down, just straight up. So your character is, you know, standing there on this ledge, and all of a sudden the screen moves upwards, and now you're in a new level.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So it goes to 100, I think. I don't remember if I've ever beat this game, but I do still own it. Ryan and I recently, just like with Dr. Mario, I had downloaded the digital version of this for the Wii. Ryan and I played it, got all the way to the last level, couldn't beat it, and gave up. And that was just 2 years ago.
That's the spirit.
So, Bubble Bobble, though, for a long time, I probably would have said this was my favorite game because it was a little bit lesser known, and I liked picking a lesser known one. But if I'm really ranking on how much I played it and overall memories, I guess it has before, but this could easily have been my number one.
Yeah.
However, I have three others ahead of it. So
there we go.
Wait for that. Number three, Ben.
Number three, the pinnacle of video game storytelling, which is not something video games are very well known for. I mean, let's think about
Mario. Now they are. They're transitioning.
They're getting there, but Mario's never going to be about storytelling.
I know what this is. Can I guess?
Yes.
I think it's The Last of Us.
It is, in fact, The Last of Us. Oh, my goodness. What a game. First of all, it's a great game just as a game. But, man, you know, one of the best stories I've experienced in any format over the last several years.
I've never seen the cutscenes. Is this a zombie story?
Kind of. Okay. Yeah, I guess it is a little bit. But, man, just, you know, if you've ever thought a video game could make you cry, it's this one. I mean, this is so powerful with what the story it's able to tell and the characters and what they accomplished in here. They did things I never thought a video game could do with this one. The Last of Us is a masterpiece and deserves to be, even though it is relatively recent, deserves to be not only one of my favorite games, but it is one of the great video games of all time.
Wow. Awesome.
Number three for you.
All right. Now, this is where it gets... I mean, this is a favorite game. I feel like I might get a little bit of pushback. This is the first time I've been worried to tell you.
It's your favorite.
But you know this about me, that when it comes to video games, my all-time favorite genre of video games are...
Fighting games? Wrestling.
I'm pointing at you.
Wrestling.
Professional wrestling. That's right. Yeah. Growing up, I watched a lot of WWF before it was WWE. And when I first got a PlayStation... No, this is not... Again, I'm working up to what my choice is. When I first got a PlayStation... The first, like a wrestling game, I think is the first one I ever really wanted. So let me take a look here. Yes, WWF SmackDown from 1999 was my first wrestling PlayStation game. I had some other ones from other places. I'll talk about that in a second. But you had said earlier with your Arkham choice that you had to just pick one to be a representative.
Right.
So that's what I'm going to do. So for PlayStation 2, back in 2003, in the SmackDown series came WWE SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain.
That's right.
And
did it bring the pain?
It did bring the pain. It had Brock Lesnar on the cover.
Former Minnesota Viking, Lesnar.
No, he was a Gopher.
No. He
tried out for the Vikings.
He played a preseason game.
Yeah.
a brief career.
So, what should I say about wrestling games? I don't know why I like them so much other than I just like wrestling. I played them for Sega Genesis, for regular Nintendo, for Super Nintendo, for Game Gear.
Well, we tried to play a couple a year or so ago when we did the Turtles game, and they were awful.
Yes.
They were really awful.
But the PlayStation ones get a little bit better where you can now create your own character. You choose their entire...
Be careful.
Yeah, be careful. You choose their every move you assign to this character. Yeah. So let's say I made Matt the Mangler Anderson, which was, of course, my professional wrestling name. So the Mangler I could pick all his moves. I could pick how strong he is, how fast he is. And then you decide, is it a good guy or a bad guy wrestler? And then it's also a little bit interactive where you have to make choices. Are you going to help this person or not? And then that influences the rest of the season. So if you didn't help that person, watch out. They might come back and get you. If you did help them, perhaps you'll be a tag team in a few matches.
Maybe.
So I liked that interactivity. There was some story. I don't think it's cutscene worthy, but there was some story to it.
I don't think I'll be searching out the cutscenes for Here Comes the Pain on YouTube.
So this was actually, I think, the second to last wrestling game I ever bought. The next one was, instead of just being called SmackDown, it was called SmackDown versus Raw. And I don't know why I didn't pick that as my top one. I just have a lot more memories playing Here Comes the Pain at the end of my college career. So
did you, speaking of wrestling, did you hear about what Triple H did a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I saw it all over Facebook. Yeah, one of the wrestlers, Triple character. H, broke character, which almost never happens.
What do you think of that?
Well, did you know that he married into the owner's family?
I did hear that.
And so he has nothing to lose, but he runs the show, so it's fine.
Yeah, but do you as a fan support wrestlers breaking character?
I do support it.
Okay.
So can I tell you some honorable mentions under my wrestling ones? Just to take care of him here. WWF Raw.
Yeah.
WWF Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation 99, from 1999. WWF SmackDown from 2000. SmackDown number 2, Know Your Role.
Know Your Role.
From 2001. SmackDown Just Bring It from 2002. And these are all games I owned. From 2002, PlayStation 2 game. SmackDown Shut Your Mouth.
Yeah.
And then 2004, like I said, SmackDown versus Raw.
That's right.
All right. Your number two game.
Oh, we just got the two big ones left. Yeah. Well, coming in number two, and really it could be number one, but it's going to be Mario.
The original?
No. I'm choosing the series as a whole, but representative, in my opinion, the best Mario game is Super Mario Galaxy.
I've never played this one. What is this for? Wii?
Wii, yeah. Okay. So Galaxy and Galaxy 2. I go back and forth on which one I like better. But, man, I love the Mario series. You know, and I've talked about a couple times already today about how video games have gotten progressively easier in some ways with their main difficulty. Mm-hmm. The Mario series has come up with a really interesting solution to that they've had really from Mario 64 going forward, which is that to do the main story, you know, where you have to collect X number of stars or whatever and beat Bowser, you can get through that without doing anything too difficult, mm-hmm. but to get like all the stars in Mario 64 or in Mario Galaxy, that's really tough. And from Galaxy 2 on, what they've done in their Mario games is, in addition to making really hard levels that you have to do to collect all the stars, they now, like at the very end of the game, have a super insanely hard level that you have to do in order to do everything. So not only do they have increased difficulty after the main game, but then they just go out of their minds and like throw everything they've got at you in this ridiculous level. The most recent Mario game I played was for the Wii U, Super Mario World 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the epitome of this. Super easy. If all you want to do is beat Bowser, really easy game. If all you want to do is collect all the stars, hard game. But if you want to finish that last level, I mean, it took me, I don't even know how many tries to do, just again
but
and
you
again.
Did do it.
I finally
you
did
stuck
it.
With it.
I did.
Good
yeah,
job.
Insanely difficult. Yeah. So Mario, man, I love Mario.
You know, let me just go right into my number two, which is the original Super Mario Brothers from 1985 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. This was close to being my number one because it's the classic, and I love playing it. I just played it again recently. But it's not the game I played the most, and it's not the one I feel like I went back to the most.
Yeah.
Turtles
in Time.
You have to wait to find out what number one is. But this was my number one, and I had to swap it. Yeah. I had to do the right thing. Wait till you see what number one is.
I will.
But, yeah, the original one, a great game. I mean, if you think about what it did for Nintendo, it's amazing. When it comes to having this, you were yawning.
Just yawning.
When it comes to having this amazing franchise. But you were saying, I've never played anything past Super Nintendo.
Not dribbling water down my chest.
That's okay. That's
so you played Mario World.
That's the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, yeah. I like that one. But you were talking about collecting stars. I don't think that I did any star collecting in.
Yeah, that came in with Mario 64.
Okay, yeah. So I don't understand that reference. So you have to collect stars throughout the game? Where are these stars?
Every level, you, like in Mario 64, you'll play through a level like five or six times, or up to five or six times, and each time you play, there's a different goal and a slightly different thing to do, or a slightly different setup as you go into the level. And so after you finish said goal, you will get a star at the end of that. And then there will be like, to advance to the next group of levels, you need 10 stars or whatever. And so to beat Bowser, you have to collect like 60 stars. But to finish everything in the game, there's 120 stars. So you only really have to do half the game to win and beat Bowser in these games.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. But to do everything, that takes skill.
What's Super Smash Brothers? I've heard of that.
That's too. A fighting game with Nintendo characters.
And then what's Mario Party?
It's just like mini games.
Okay. So they're not as good, you wouldn't say?
No.
Okay. All right, Ben, I want to hear it. You're number one.
My number one. The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
I should have known this. I remember you like this.
Oh, I love Ocarina of Time. This is such a great game. To me, when I think about the epitome of my video game playing experience, Ocarina of Time is it. I love the Zelda series as a whole. I just finished for the 2DS Link Between Worlds a couple days ago. But Ocarina of Time stands head and shoulders above the rest. It is the epitome of Zelda games and has everything you want in a video game. And there's few games that are more fun or exciting than what you get in Ocarina of Time. It is a perfect game.
Wow. Never played it. I've never played one Legend of Zelda game.
That's a shame.
All right, everybody. My
number one
came out in 1990 for the Super Nintendo.
Tetris.
It was, well, the original subtitle was Super Mario Brothers 4, but it's, we all know it as Super Mario World.
Oh, yeah.
With Yoshi.
Yeah, oh, this is a great game.
This is the one, time and time again, I go back to this. I played it a ton in elementary and middle school, and then in college, got back into it. I had a group of friends again, different one actually than the Dr. Mario, but where we would just sit around and play this for hours. Man, this is a fun game. There's so much, and you have to learn all the tricks.
Yeah.
When you get the cape and you can fly, and Yoshi eats people.
Yeah,
but you know, bad guys, so it's okay.
Did you watch the 6-minute speedrun video that was on YouTube this week?
No, what's speedrun?
You know, so like, people will now compete with some of these older games to see how quickly you can finish a game. And so somebody has discovered a glitch where if you're playing Super Mario World and you do a bunch of seemingly random activities in the level, you can actually reprogram the memory inside of the cartridge.
Okay.
So you're physically manipulating the code in the game itself just to simplify things. And then if you do it just right, it will automatically warp you to the credits.
Wow.
And so this guy did it, and so he finished the game in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you had mentioned before that you made some choices, and they were selective of a group.
Yeah.
I thought about doing that with Mario, but this one, but I mean, these two games, my number one and my number two, are so important individually to me, I had to have them listed out individually.
There you go. Yeah.
So Super Mario World, my number one.
Good choice.
All right, man. Ben, I want to read some of the listener feedback, so just for the sake of time, let me just read through my list of platforms in order. I have six.
Best to worst?
I'll do worst to best.
Worst to best.
And then I'll have you do the same.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. My number six, Atari.
Huh?
My number five, I had the Game Gear, which is Sega's version of Game Boy, and it was higher quality by far. Full color screen. It looked like a mini TV. It just didn't have the name brand that Nintendo did, and so Game Boy took off and Game Gear went away, but I still own a Game Gear. So if anybody out there wants a Game Gear, I got
Sonic
one.
Games have not aged well.
Just either. Kidding, though. I'm not going to give you my Game Gear.
No.
But if somebody wanted to offer me a lot of money for it, I'd be happy to sell it.
$50?
Well, it's got to be worth more than that, right?
I doubt it.
You don't think Sonic games have aged well?
No.
I had like four games for this. I had Sonic, which came with.
Yeah.
I had a wrestling game called like WWF Steel Cage. I had a Spider-Man game, and I can't remember what it was called. I'm almost positive I had an X-Men game, and that's all I can remember.
Yeah.
So even in my childhood, superheroes and wrestling.
There you go.
Where was I? That was number five. Number four, PlayStation 1. Number three, the original Nintendo. Number two, PlayStation 2. And my number one favorite favorite platform, Super Nintendo.
That's right. Super Nintendo's quality.
All right.
I have nine. Xbox 360 comes at the bottom. I don't care for online multiplayer games and that console specialized in that. I bought it so that I could watch HBO Go. On my TV. which you might be saying that's a waste of money, but then I eventually sold it for the same amount I paid for it, so not a waste of money. PlayStation 2. There's not a ton of great games that I remember from PlayStation 2. Game Boy Color, the 2DS, which I just got a couple months ago, so still kind of feeling that one out. Super Nintendo, the Wii U, which I think will probably move up in these rankings before all is said and done. I really have enjoyed the Wii U. I think it's a vastly underrated console. But for now, its little brother, the Wii, is ahead of it. Or maybe that's older brother. I don't know. After that, the PlayStation 3. And finally, the greatest console of all time, without question, the Nintendo 64. Now, I did not include PC on there, though I do play a lot of PC games, but I kept it pure consoles.
Ben, I forgot to mention, I just had three runners-up.
Yeah.
For video games.
Okay.
Street Fighter 2.
That's right.
I had Injustice Gods Among Us, which Ben and I did a full review on during episode 165 here on the Sci-Fi Christian.
And you were way better at it than me.
Yeah, that's why I liked it. And I did already mention this one about Tetris. Really like Tetris, but it was probably number 11.
I had the Civilization series, which is great fun, and Mario Kart.
Yeah, that's another thing. So just like I'm bad at 3D moving around as a character games, I am horrible at driving games.
Oh my.
Horrible.
You just drive.
I can't figure them out. No, I'm just bad. No. I crash.
You press the gas and steer. How can you not figure it out?
I go off to the side of the road. I just can't stay on the track. I'm not good at the little joysticks. I never really got good at video games. I think that's why I don't really like them.
Except for fighting games.
Yeah, really good at fighting games and really good at wrestling. So, Ben, we asked the audience for their favorite platforms and games. Which one do you want to read?
I'll read platforms because I have that open.
All right. Why don't you just go ahead and start with that, and then I'll go into games.
Mark Adams says the Nintendo 64. Seth says Atari 2600 or the PC. Daniel Ford says the PC, though he also likes the Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 1. Irby says the NES. Mikey Fissel says the PC, but he also likes the Nintendo 64 and SNES. Michael says PC. Lots of votes for the PC, but
yeah, weird
console. Well, you can do so much. I mean, I agree that if you only have one, buy the PC. The NES. And then Trevor says SNES with Xbox 360 as a close second. So there you go.
The SNES. That's the same one I had.
That's right.
All right, everybody. You ready for our listeners' top games? So here's what I'll do. Ready. I will read. Instead of going, and Ben said Mario, I'm just going to say name and answer.
All right.
Here we go. Travis, Mass Effect 3. Until the last 40 minutes or so, it was a culmination of at least 100 hours of gameplay, and it was fantastic until the end. Aside from that, Last of Us.
Yeah.
Mickey says, maybe Jedi Outcast? Never mind, it's Age of Empires 2.
There's lots of votes for Star Wars games.
Daniel Butcher, Lego Star Wars. Paul Lewis, Mario Kart. Seth, Star Wars Republic Commando. So awesome. Runners-up, Descent 2 and Portal. I guess my selections are PC games since I've never owned a console. Mark, GoldenEye.
That's right.
Daniel, Elder Scrolls number 3, Morrowind. The most in-depth story I've ever played. Plus, it was the first RPG of its kind and was incredibly groundbreaking. Thousands of hours of possible gameplay, too. Michael, the original Resident Evil. I realize it doesn't even hold up. The thing with that game is the time in which it came out. It was revolutionary. The only game to date that actually made me jump. James, City of Heroes, made my dream of having my own comic superhero come to life. Such a great game with an awesome community. It was really sad when the publishing company pulled the plug. Did you play City of Heroes?
No.
I have seen this before. I had a friend who was really into it. Ian, classic StarCraft and Brood War X-Pack.
Expansion packs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wayne, Words with Friends. You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, we've been talking mostly about console games, but nowadays people play a lot of games on their phones and tablets. So Wayne Henderson here mentions Words with Friends. I mentioned earlier I really like Plants vs. Zombies. I've played a little bit of Angry Birds, but I never got too much into that. But I like Words with Friends. I like some different trivia games that they have out there. So, yeah. I think more and more, this documentary I was referencing earlier, it says, in this day and age, in a sense, everyone's become a gamer. sort of, when it comes to those phone games.
Yeah. People all right. like to spam your Facebook wall.
Ben Avery says, Shadow of the Colossus, Irby, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link on NES. Jordan, Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight would expand that to include the whole series if possible, DF 1 and 2, Mysteries of the Sith, JK 2, JK Academy.
Those are Jedi Knight 2 and Jedi Knight Academy.
What's DF? Oh, Dark Forces.
Dark Forces, yeah.
Harold, Uncharted 2 for me, retro game would be Ultima 4.
Yeah.
Jonathan, Kung Fu on NES. And finally, Josh, the original Final Fantasy on NES.
There you go.
Whew, Ben, that was awesome. Great feedback from everybody today.
Yeah, well done, everyone.
Well, guys, you did a great job out there.
Yeah, you knocked it out of the park.
Thanks for joining us on this episode where we finally talked about video games, so that should cover us for 3 more years.
That's right.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
Matt, are you going to get back into video games now?
Probably not.
Okay. I'm Matt DiBono.
We're the Sci-Fi Christians signing off.
Kind of a sad ending. I think people wanted to hear you say, yeah, I do want to play video games.
I have goals to watch more cutscenes on YouTube, but I don't know. I usually just stick with games I kind of know. So the other day I was at Kobe's, and he just recently downloaded Injustice Gods Among Us because I think there was some sort of free download available of it. So sorry about that. I know you paid for it, Ben. But
No. But, I paid for it so that we could do our review.
There it is. All right, we're back. Like I said, tonight as we record here in 2022, we just did our top 14 favorite video games as of today in 2022. But I realized in 2015, we released a very similar episode. So Ben, you have in front of you the overlap. How much overlap is there for my list and your list?
A lot. Do you want me to read off yours or mine, Ben, first?
Do yours first.
Okay, so my two runners-up were Civilization and Mario Kart.
Okay, sounds familiar.
Here's my top 10.
So are people going to basically have to hear the same episode two times in a row?
No, this was a different conversation. Okay. GoldenEye.
Okay.
Arkham City.
Okay. Wait, those two were... Just say they were on... I can't remember. Those were both on your list,
Let me just jump cut to the chase. Every one of my top 10.
No.
So GoldenEye was my number 12 on my new list.
Oh, my goodness.
Was 10 on the original. Arkham City was number 9 on the old list, 13 on the new.
Okay.
Diablo 3 was 8 on both lists.
Wow.
Portal 2, 7 on the old list, 9 on the new. Doom 2, 6 on the old list, 2 on the new.
Wow, it went up, though. That's interesting.
Half-Life 2.
How do you explain that? That's a big increase.
I don't know.
Subjective.
Half-Life 2. 5 on the old list, 4 on the new.
Oh, man.
BioShock Infinite, 4 on the old list, 14 on the new.
Oh, wow, big drop. In 7 years.
The Last of Us, 3 on the old list, 5 on the new. Mario Galaxy, 2 on the old list, 3rd on the new. And number 1 on both, Ocarina of Time.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, do you have any insights as to why some of those moved around? Like the Infinite, BioShock Infinite?
I think
it's just
probably,
like, it's been so long.
Yeah, a little bit of recency bias, maybe. You know, and that's where I think it is interesting to update the list.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is funny. This doesn't happen to us very often. I'm not sure this is the first time. It doesn't happen to us often that we redo an episode and don't realize it. I'm sure it's happened, but it's rare. And I was shocked when I saw it actually existed. All right, how's my list look?
Well, one more reflection on mine. I think it is interesting that people obviously know how much my tastes have changed in movies, in books.
Yeah.
Shockingly consistent.
Yes. What does that mean to you?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that. But that's shockingly consistent that I had 14, but 10 of them were the same as almost a decade ago.
Yes. Well, 7 years, but yes.
Yeah. And
So you have changed as a person a lot. But something about video games.
My video game. And that's why I said it's so different from other art forms.
Yeah, because your top 10 list of movies, for example, would have been night and day
from
2015 to 2022.
Totally.
This is something to consider.
It's wild.
For a podcast that doesn't cover video games very much, I think you might have just unlocked something interesting.
All right.
Let's hear my list.
This is your, do your runners up first. Street Fighter 2, Injustice, Tetris. I don't think you talked about Tetris on your list, but you did talk about it positively.
Yeah.
All right. Number 10 on your list, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, that is a good one. That's a great one. Forgot about that. That's for Nintendo.
Space Invaders.
Yep, I got that one.
Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball.
I can't believe, so I've mentioned it twice to you. Careful. I guess it's just two separate conversations over 7 years, but it feels like he would have remembered that I mentioned that awkward or obscure game.
Pac-Man.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad to see
which
Pac-Man.
Which wasn't on your list.
I did mention it when I talked about Space Invaders, but yeah, I didn't put it on the list.
Dr. Mario.
Wow, really low, because that's my new number one. What number was it there?
Six.
Okay.
An NBA Jam.
Man, consistency.
Number four. Bubble Bobble.
Nice, Bubble Bobble.
Number three, WWE SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain.
Yes, I've specified. I love that I've specified that one.
That's the one that ruined you, right?
No, it's SmackDown versus Raw. Is that on the list at all?
No.
Wow, so I just must have at that point said, I need to pick one, Ben's going to judge me, and now 7 years later, I'm like, whatever. He'll judge me right. No matter what.
I think in terms of judging, I didn't judge you too much in this episode.
Not out loud.
Yeah, not out loud. Number two, Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
And number one was Super Mario World.
Okay. Again, similar to you, there's some.
So isn't that funny that of the two of us, you don't play video games and your list changed more?
But a lot of overlap.
A lot. But there's two games. So between our lists, one game that didn't get mentioned.
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Yes. Totally forgot that existed.
And then you had Tetris and Pac-Man that weren't on your list, but you talked about both of them.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything
was on both lists.
That's incredible.
So 7 years.
We should do this in another 7 years.
Okay. See you in 7 years, listeners. Well, I'm going to hit the music.
The other thing we did was we ranked our top video game consoles.
Oh, well, should we do that right now?
I'm looking at mine, so I'm biased.
Okay, I would obviously pick Super Nintendo.
As your number one?
And then PlayStation 2.
Okay.
No, maybe I should reverse that. I think I would... rats.
Go with that. Go with that for now, because you're two for two. Super Nintendo is your number one, and PlayStation 2 is your number two. What was your number three console?
Definitely the original Nintendo.
Okay, keep going. You have a total of six, so you're halfway there.
These are the ones I would have owned. So it would have been next up would be PlayStation 1.
Yep.
And then it's down between Game Gear and Atari, right?
Yep.
So which one would I have liked more? I feel like there's a part of me that would want to have given nostalgia to Atari. But if I'm saying right now, I guess I have to go with Game Gear and then Atari last.
Six for six.
Nailed
in order.
Wow. So nothing changed. My personal feeling starts that, although So I listed Super Nintendo there. I think if I was on the spot tonight, I might have flipped them and made PlayStation 2 my number one and Super Nintendo number two.
But, you know, your first instinct was Super Nintendo.
It was.
All right, here's what I had. Xbox 360, PlayStation 2, Game Boy Color, 2DS, Super Nintendo, Wii U, Wii, PlayStation 3, and Nintendo 64. And since then, I've acquired a Switch and a PlayStation 4.
Okay, so as you look at that list, would you think the ranking that you have there is pretty close to how you would have ranked it now?
Probably.
Or are you influenced by the past?
I do like the Nintendo 64. I think both the Switch and the PS4 are probably right at the top. I think they're great consoles.
All right. I'm going to hit the music. This is good. Wow. Maybe a worthwhile time loop.
That was wild.
Listeners, thank you for sticking with us on this journey. I think we should put some sort of warning at the beginning because I could see somebody saying, wait, they just did that episode. So yeah. We should say, it's worth it. Got to listen all the way to the end.
And then at the very end, you'll hear us read off the list for the episode you just listened to.
It's so good. If you really like knowing our favorite things, these are the two episodes for you.
Right.
Well, listeners, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
Now we're the Sci-Fi Christian. Signing off.
Goodbye.